Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I have to take a moment. I mean, many of you have heard me talk about or reference what is going on in the Ukraine. And I know myself and Mark Anthony were planning an interview with one of the members of parliament. So I just want to say we're opening today's show, and I'm opening every show with heart opening, because that's what, you know, this episode and the conversation with Brett Bevel is about. It's about heart opening, really. You know, when we take a look at how our conscious and unconscious works, when we're thinking about, or how should I say it, not even thinking about racism, you know, what inherits our bodies, what inherits our kind, what literally takes over, what kicks in. Today, Brett's going to take us on a journey. This is his passion. This is his purpose. You know, he has talked about many, many aspects of racism. You know, he's the author of several books. But when it comes to racism, it's about healing racism within. And when you have experienced, you know, the associated trauma that comes along, and I have to say with any form of racism, people may be thinking, oh, well, what do you mean trauma? Do you mean the trauma of getting mugged, like a friend of mine was just mugged? No, doesn't have to be that. So we're going to talk about this today and open our hearts, open our minds, and let's make a commitment to change. Brett, are you? I know you're all in, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, let's talk about unconscious ways racism. I want to say, I don't want to say in inhabits our consciences. I mean, you know, it's as if our consciousness is porous and racism somehow finds every pore to pour itself in. Can you talk about the levels of that and what you've seen?
Yeah, so, thank you. So I mean, one of the main ways I see it is something that I call a racist brule. And I'm borrowing the term brule from Vishen Lahiani, which basically means a BS rule. You know, we create all these kinds of rules in our consciousness that sometimes have no real basis in truth. A perfect example of a racist brule for me would be that kind of romanticized vision of the old South that you see, like with films like Gone with the Wind, this idea of some, you know, pretty place, and as opposed to what it really was, which is a human factory farm where there was a lot of pain, a lot of torture, a lot of really horrible things going on. And so when we try to pretty things up in our own consciousness and not see things as they truly are, then that allows us to make decisions that are uninformed and make choices that don't really look at the truth of things. And we can do that feeling totally fine about ourselves, because we feel like, oh, you know, nothing wrong with me. I'm just going about my day, right? Mm-hmm. And there's these little tiny ways in which those racist brules kind of seep into our awareness and seep into our consciousness. And so, you know, a lot of my work is how can we use tools, whether it's energy healing or affirmations or art therapy or other things, to really start to look at ourselves and turn that around and take a deeper look in through our subconscious mind and work this stuff out.
You know, I want you to really talk a little bit more about this, because, you know, there's unexpressed, in your terms, your language, unexpressed racial grief. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because I gave one example. A close friend of mine got mugged about a week ago. And, you know, I mean, okay, I'm calling it mugged, but to be honest with you, it's like a hate crime. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody gets, you know, treated badly or physically or mentally and emotionally because of the color of their skin, because of their sexual identity, whatever that is, because you're either a woman or a man, whatever that is, because fill in the dots, there's a line that gets crossed. And associated with that are many forms of grief. Can you talk about racial grief and explain that to people?
Yeah, so I'll talk about it first in terms of just being a white person and a white person who came from a very racist background. You know, it took me a while to realize that there was emotional pain that I didn't want to look at, that was about the way my parents behaved, the way my grandparents behaved, and also just the way my culture has behaved. There's a certain level of pain there. And what I've realized too, it really came to the surface for me a number of years ago when I was doing my master's thesis in San Francisco, which involves some poetry. And when I really started to read that poetry in the Bay Area, which you would think of as being quite progressive and liberal, I was getting the strangest reactions from people who literally wanted to censor my work and did censor my work because they didn't want to hear what I was talking about. And so for me, that was an indicator that this grief, when you don't look at it — I was looking at it through my poetry — but when you don't look at it, you're going to want to push it away. And so I think society, we do that in many ways. I think even just the kinds of reaction that people like Colin Kaepernick get for taking a knee on a football field during the national anthem, simply to call attention to the injustice that was happening with one police shooting after another of innocent people, you know, that huge overreaction that we create as a culture is really based on this internal stuff that we've never had the courage to look at.
And, you know, I want to stay with that for a minute because I think it's a perfect example. I really would like you to talk to it because, I mean, let's just go down fascination and imagination lane for a second, if we could.
Yeah.
If a guy like Kaepernick, if a guy like him loses everything, right? I mean, let's try not to look at him today, right, for a minute. Let's try to look at what happened then.
Yeah.
One day, he is a superstar. The next day, everybody pretty much turns on him. And I don't say everybody, because not everybody did, but the turn against him was so dominant. But today we look at him, he's kind of like a hero, but he did lose everything. So let's talk about what happens if you're not him, if you're not Colin Kaepernick, you're like the average everyday person trying to earn a living, and you're faced with this. And because the consequences are so great for speaking up until it gets to a boiling point that you just suck it up. I mean, the painful thought of that, it's just daunting for me.
And I think, again, I think that's one of the psychological mechanisms that keeps racism in place in our culture. And the fact that, you know, because it is so overwhelmingly challenging to have the courage to speak out. And in many cases, people might be, you know, risking their job or risking more than that by speaking out, risking their reputation, risking their livelihood. And that when you do that, you know, you're trying to do it for a greater good, but you're also very aware of the potential consequences if people decide, you know, as I experienced on some level, and as many people have experienced in a greater way, that you know, the negativity of that can be pretty harsh. You
know? Yeah. And there's no question about it. I mean, I want to talk about a couple of other things here because, you know, unexpressed racial grief has — I don't even want to talk about the devastating effects of that, because any grief, let's just talk about any grief, we already know from science what it does to our bodies, what it does to our subconscious, what it does to our behavior. I mean, you could go on. But this in particular, this idea of unexpressed racial grief, it literally holds prisoner a person's life. And you know, many of us have gone through it. I have worked in corporate environment, and I will tell you this. And my coach was from Ghana, Africa. And when you see things as a young person, as I did, and you don't understand it, having grown up in an environment where you are the white person, but you don't know it because you're just with people. You're coming out in the world now, and now you see the world the way the world sees you in the context of who gets privilege and who doesn't. That in itself is, people grieve that every day.
Yeah. I mean, the level of, again, I often experience it on a daily basis just because my wife is a person of color, and just, you know, what would seem to be the simplest things in terms of, you know, somebody not paying attention to you in a line because of the color of your skin and things like that, that I hear about on a pretty constant basis.
Just, oh my God. I waited in a restaurant for 5 hours, like 4.5 hours. We waited until we realized Sam and I did not get a seat because he was Black. I mean, why would we even wait that long? But, you know, honestly, you see this every day, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's so prevalent in our society. It's really, I think, again, it's part of the energetic fabric of who we are because of 500 years of racial oppression is woven into our consciousness. Mm. And again, I think that there are healing tools we can use to try to unwind it and to try to release that. But we have to really be willing to step into that and step into that conversation and step into that process.
Can you talk about our culture and cultural loss? I mean, here's what I'm struck by. I'd love you to comment on this. I would love for you to talk about this idea of culture, because when Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, was elected twice, you know, everybody thought the world had changed. Everybody. I call it the great racism illusion. And I mean, I don't know another phrase. I made that up. But everybody thought we have arrived. Now, why do I say that? I think it had positive progressive impact. I really do. But culture is tricky, isn't it? And whether you're a consultant and trying to address culture, like corporate culture, it is tricky. It is slippery. Can you talk about culture and the impact, what happens, you know, when we have culture in the forefront?
Yeah. So, I mean, so culture loss for me is when, you know, one of the great things about this country is that idea of the melting pot. But one of the sort of negative aspects of the melting pot is often as we're fusing into one culture, we can lose really the generational knowledge that our grandmother or grandparents or great grandparents had, the customs, the traditions, the things that bound us together and made our lives richer. Mm-hmm. And I think we all have levels of culture loss, whether one is white or brown or whatever one's background or heritage might be. I think in this culture, you know, that we've kind of trained things to be left on the doorstep, where we no longer embrace necessarily those traditions that our ancestors brought when coming to this country. Or for a person of color, I think it's even stronger that way, because, you know, the dominant culture is this white privileged culture. And so I think when we don't really examine what we've lost in terms of our own personal culture loss, for example, I'm kind of a mutt. I've got heritage that goes to, you know, Greece, Irish, Dutch, Cherokee, German, French, but all those cultures for me is pretty void. Like, I don't have a lot of traditions to draw from that I'm knowingly and consciously part of. And so I think that culture loss has affected our overall culture in a way that makes our life far less rich. And kind of deprives us of some of the mechanisms that we might have been able to be held by our culture in terms of moving through things like racial grief and things like that.
I love this conversation. Before we keep going, I want to make sure everybody tuning in, Brett Bevel joining me here. Brett, how do people get a copy of your book about healing racism within? Fabulous, fabulous invitation. I call it an invitation book, boy, because I don't care who you are. You got something inside got to be healed, and this is going to help you. How do we find out about that? Tell us some of the things you're teaching now. You know, you're also a Reiki trainer at the Omega Institute, holistic studies. You're all of that. How do we find out about all about Brett?
So to find out about me, you can go to my website, brettbevel.com. That's BRETTBEVELL.com. In terms of the book, Healing Racism Within, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also I totally encourage people to support their local bookstore as well. So you could easily go into your local bookshop and just order it if they don't have it readily available. But certainly Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I know, carry it as well. And yeah, I do a lot of things. I'm also an energy healer, and part of the training that I do involves Reiki trainings that I offer at Omega Institute. And I'll be offering a level 1 and 2 training there in early July of this year that I'm excited about.
You know, we had an interesting conversation. I will share it with you because it ties right in to what we're talking about today. I don't know what it is, Brett. Maybe it's a phase that I'm going through in my life, or maybe it's because I've had a couple of people ask me to write a bunch of articles and, you know, Pat, share this, share that. And I just don't. I mean, it's like, I think I missed an article deadline like Monday. But I've started to think about my life and how rich and challenging some parts of it have been. I want to talk to you about this idea of a racial self-portrait. And the reason I want to talk to you about it is there's been a little confusion in my family here over the past, I'm going to say 10 years, once the genie got out of the bottle, that grandpa was born in Brazil. Hello. He was like a farmer in Brazil, like born in Brazil. And like now all of these relatives with my mom's maiden name and then the other relatives that we thought we were all like Italian, they're all in South America, right? I want to talk about this racial self-portrait because I think it's important. Intuitively, we know what we're drawn to. Do you know I got disallowed to participate in a sport back in 1974 because I had a shirt outfit on from my coach's home region, Ghana. His mom was an entrepreneur in Ghana, and she created me this beautiful and I wasn't allowed to play in it. And there was some cockamamie story about how it was too bright to see the little white ball. And I refused to take it off. And so let's talk about our self-portraits here. Can we give it to me from your perspective? Because you are married to a person of color. So explain to people what self-portrait is and how powerful it could be.
Yeah. So for me, this racial self-portrait is pretty easy. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be, you know, a talented drawer or anything like that. Just a simple blank piece of paper and a pen or pencil, and just do a drawing of yourself, even like a doodle of yourself. But while you're doing that doodle or that drawing of yourself, hold your intention that you're expressing things about your own racial awareness, right? So when I first started doing this, when I would draw my ears, they would come out very pointed and kind of tangled. And I would just let myself feel with that intuitively. What is that emotional tangled thing that I'm seeing around my ears? And I would tune into it. It's like, oh, those are the words of hatred that I heard growing up as a child. Those are the words of disparaging people of other races that I heard as a child. And so just allowing my ears to be drawn in this disfigured way, but just to me that showed what I was experienced as a child. Also, when I would do these drawings in the beginning, I'd see my eyes would always be closed. And that was because there were things I just didn't want to see. There were things that I didn't want to acknowledge that were related to my own racial history and the kind of horrific racial history that I grew up with in my very racist family. Even in how I drew my mouth, you know, it was, again, it was kind of distorted with this sense of like an inability to speak the truth. And many of these techniques I learned from basically just doing art therapy when I was overcoming my own sexual abuse trauma as a child. But art therapy was very helpful for me. And so I thought, let's just adapt this process to reflect and tune into what's going on with ourselves with relationship to issues around race.
I love it. I don't know if I have time to step away, but the power of what you're talking about here today, and what I mean by the power of it, the power of what you're talking about here today and the expression of that allows us to explore parts of who we are. And I'm not able to get it, but art, I created these, I don't know what to call them. People call them goddess heads. I took styrofoam. I won appetizer forks at a White Elephant, and I created about 8 of these. And one of them is a self-portrait. And when I show that to people, they're shocked by it. Actually, 2 of them are self-portraits. One is a very, very dark face, right? Just dark. What do we learn from self-exploration? Because you and I can do a whole show on racism and art therapy, and I think we should, actually.
Yeah.
But what do we learn? Because I learned so much about myself. See, I saw myself in that, but people looked at it and they said, what the heck were you thinking? I wasn't. Tell us about the power of expression of our self-portraits.
Yeah, so the self-portraits for me, they become like a Rorschach dot or a way that you can really start to reflect back on, oh, this is an area where I'm still holding on to stuff that I need to release. This is an area where I need to improve. Like, oh, if my mouth is distorted because of things that I was afraid of speaking to the truth, well, yep, how am I speaking the truth today, right? Or if my ears were distorted by ways that I, you know, things that I heard as a child, what am I really listening to today? And what am I being discerning about in terms of how I listen to people or situations? And even just in how I do my eyes, like, am I really seeing, am I really willing to look at myself and also to look at my own relationships and how they are either equitable or inequitable and take action around that? So to me, the power of a self-portrait is it really gives you a kind of a in the moment energetic imprint of where you are, what you need to work on, and kind of a map, you know, that can help lead you to a better place.
You know, when we have more time, and I hope you will come back because I do want to talk about this. You know, we recently in the state were told we could take our masks off for a lot of reasons, but now I understand that may be changing. But I always, 9 times out of 10, I wear a black mask. And somebody said to me, why do you wear a black mask? And I thought, well, that's the oddest question. I mean, it's not even like, why are you wearing a mask? But why do you wear a black mask? Every time I see you, you either have a full black mask. It's black, black, black. Why is that even a concern for you? But you see how odd these parts of ourselves are. But it's an opening for a conversation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's digging deeper into that, you know, whether it's the issue around the mask or the self-portrait. It's when we have those invitations to just dig deeper and take a deeper look at ourselves and at our world.
You know, I love what you're doing, and we'll have to talk to Linda and get this on the books to talk about racism and how we portray it and how healing art can be. Cause I know that's something that you do. The work you do is powerful. You come from a personal place and a passionate place, as I do. What do you want to say to the world today? What do you want to say? Because honestly, racism is really alive and well, huh? I hate saying that.
Yeah.
I hate saying that.
Yeah. I mean, I hate saying it too. And, you know, I think my heart's just in a heavy place too, just from the war that's occurring.
Yeah, me too.
I think many of us have our hearts in a heavy place right now.
I mean, that's genocide. That we could do a whole show on that too.
Yeah. And again, I often mention this, the most simple practice of gratitude, even expanding that and extending that into looking at things that we are grateful for that are for people outside of our own race or for cultures outside of our own culture. I know that science shows how gratitude can rewire the brain. And I really think if there's only one thing that people could do, which would be to be grateful for something, make a daily gratitude of list of things that you're grateful for that have nothing to do with your culture or your race. It's not that you can't be grateful for things or your culture or your race, but just to expand that beyond so that you're looking at other cultures, other races, and finding things that you're grateful for on a daily basis, just to start to rewire our brains in that very simple yet very profound way.
Mm. Brett, thank you for today. I know this is a short chat. You and I will continue this. Just so you know, you are the first to know we have identified what our channel will be. That will be a forum for all this. And believe it or not, it's called TTN Diversity.
I love it.
I mean, we agonized over what to call it. We had like six different channels. We didn't want to leave a group out. And then Linda and I were like, what happened to the word diversity? Can't we use that? Boom. There we go.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.